Maybe you're posting your weekly sermons, you're posting shorts, you're getting all this new content onto YouTube, but you're just not seeing the growth that you hope to see on your church's YouTube channel. Well, we're going to break down for you some of the things that I see the most successful churches on YouTube doing that a lot of churches miss. And I think if you get some of these things right, you're going to see an enormous amount of growth on your church's YouTube channel. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about why your church YouTube channel is not growing and what you can do about it. We want to give you some practical advice. Here's the sad reality is that as YouTube has grown, like every other social media platform, it is harder than ever to get results on it. That's not to say that it's not worth your time. I think it is still the place that churches should spend most of their time and effort when it comes to social media. It represents the biggest opportunity still. I'm not backing off of that. But I'm just pointing out that the best time to get started on YouTube was probably about 8 years ago. Yeah. And then the second best time to get started on YouTube is today. So
that's good.
Of this kind of stuff now. And I think it still is a really big opportunity. But we want to share with you things that you're doing that maybe are hindering your growth and unpack them a bit and give you guys some advice on how you can see growth on your YouTube channel. So sound good, Ian?
Sounds great. And I want to just take a minute because sometimes we point out a lot of things that churches are not doing. One of the things that I see just speaking with so many churches and consulting with them day in and day out is I want to commend the body of Christ and churches that they are using YouTube like crazy. I rarely come across a church now that is not utilizing YouTube. So, you know, the church has responded well, and that's not what we're talking about, a case to use it. We're talking about how to use it better today. Yep. So I think this is going to be a really good topic and helpful for a lot of churches. Yeah. So,
Yeah, it really is. And so I didn't mean to come and kick the church down.
I said we often do. So we point out that's our job is to help churches get up with the times to get results and reach people for the Lord. So, yeah.
That's it. I think, yeah, the tenor of this episode is that it's, like you said, it's not to talk you into using it. You're already doing that. But I talk to so many pastors that are just kind of, they feel like they're stuck at 150 subscribers, or they're just not getting views on their sermons they're posting every single week or other content. And it's frustrating. You know,
as someone doing the work, you want to see results with it.
Exactly. I mean, you and I are 270 some episodes deep into this podcast. We do other weekly videos. We're putting out, like, including our shorts, something like 15 YouTube videos every single week here. So we've seen the results. I'm not saying that's for every church. We have a whole team of people that do all of this here and help us to be able to produce that kind of content. But we're going to try and find some things that maybe one person could do in maybe like an hour per week that would actually move the needle and help you guys get results on things. So that's the tenor of this episode. What do we have for him, Ian?
Here's the first one we have is your titles aren't really searchable.
Ah, this is good. Okay. So this is, there's so many things. I might say I haven't looked at all of them yet, but I think this is going to be one of the most important. The issue that we have so often with sermons on YouTube is that we don't title them correctly. So what you have to be asking yourself is not like what would be creative or what would, you know, make it sound like really, really kind of like 3 points in there or something, like trying to make those titles we're used to making for our sermons. And I'm not against those. You can still use those on Sunday, but for YouTube, you need to make sure that you're using very searchable titles. So I have actually shifted a little bit on this, on what I recommend. I now think that the best titles are usually tied to two things. They're tied to a topic in scripture. So if you're talking about giving, then you should maybe do a title that a lot of times a question or a how-to type of a title that has that keyword in it, like giving. So how to give the way Jesus wants you to, or something like that would be a decent searchable title. But then I would also include the scripture reference in the actual title of the YouTube message. If you are, especially if you're a church that's teaching through a passage of the Bible. So if you're picking out, like if your sermon's more topical and you're picking out something from 2 Corinthians and something from Malachi and something from Exodus, I don't know if this really makes sense. My church will go through one primary passage of scripture. We're going through the book of Matthew right now. I'm preaching on Matthew 9, 35 through 38 this weekend. I would put Matthew 9, 35 colon 35-38 in my sermon title, probably in parentheses at the end. What this does is it gives you a title with a something searchable. So for, in my case, it'll be the harvest is plenty or a topic around that. And then the actual passage. So if anybody puts in something like Matthew 9:35 sermon, that ideally your video would show up. People are looking for sermons on YouTube. People are also looking for faith topics on YouTube. So that is always better than what I often see is it'll say something like First Baptist Sermon, Sunday, October the 22nd, 2025, Pastor Ed. Like that would be the name of the sermon. That's really bad because nobody's searching for the date. Nobody's searching for your church in most cases. Nobody is searching for your pastor unless you're Stephen Furtick or Michael Todd. Yeah. So like, I think that you're much better off titling it something that's searchable with the passage. That's my best recommendation right now. We used to not recommend the Bible passage part, but I think that putting in the passage of scripture is really important. So title it that way, and I'm confident that's an easy way right there. You'll probably double your views on every single message you do. And I think it'll give it a much longer shelf life because searched content is going to be found years into the future.
Yeah.
Whereas your sermon, if you title it with just the date that you preached it, no one will ever look at that for that again. So
yeah,
that's some advice I have there.
Yeah, that is a big one. That's a big one. So next one I know you'll like too, and this one's very important too. Your thumbnails aren't grabbing attention.
See this all the time. I see many churches skip thumbnails.
Right.
Horrible mistake if you're doing that. I'm also seeing churches just use their series graphic.
Right.
So if you're just doing like an
image of the book of the Bible or whatever. Yeah.
That kind of thing. That's... Yeah, it's better than skipping it altogether, but not very valuable, I think. So my best advice for thumbnails is to actually take the time, and I trust me on this, it's worth it to do a unique thumbnail for every single message that you do because people look at thumbnails before they look at titles. So titles help people find your video on searches. Thumbnails are what people look at when they're browsing on YouTube. You can think of it that way.
Yeah.
So the way that we encourage you to do thumbnails, I don't know what the thumbnail is going to say on this episode just yet. We have actually a dedicated person. This is how important it is that we have a person on the Reach Right team that about half of her job is just making thumbnails for YouTube. So that's about half of her time is spent doing that. That's how much we value this.
Yeah.
Because when someone sees a thumbnail, they're looking for something that grabs their attention. So the thumbnail for this will probably say something like, triple your YouTube views, mark, or I don't know. This is, let us know in the comments what it actually said. But we usually do two is how valuable we think it is. We'll A-B test both of them. YouTube lets you do up to three, I think, so you can see which one gets the most. You guys won't believe this. We have some videos that we do where we'll have two, what we think are good thumbnails.
Yeah.
One will get like three times as many watch minutes as the other one. Like that people are that much more attracted to just the thumbnail. So YouTube will then like run the test. And then if it's really obvious, they'll make that one the winner. And that'll be the main thumbnail going forward. So long story short, you want to do this. A couple of quick pieces of advice. Have a provocative statement that kind of corresponds with the title that you have. So if it's a... if it's like how to give like Jesus, maybe the thumbnails is, can you outgive God, or outgive God ? That kind of a statement on there would make sense. And then as much as this bugs us, like having a big picture of our faces on there, it demonstrably gets better results, right? You used to hate this, I remember, right?
A lot of people still do on our team, but yes.
That's it. Your wife specifically. She probably makes fun of it. But I don't know what it is, but more people click on your videos if you get a tight shot of your face as the pastor, as the main graphic, like on one side of the thumbnail, and then that provocative question, or maybe right in the middle with two statements on either side, or like a positive and negative. There's lots of ways to do this, but that tight shot of a big smile, or as much as I hate this, even like an open mouth, like Like that always gets better results for whatever reason. It's hard to peg why the algorithm likes it, but that's just what tends to work on things. So that's some free advice on that. Just take your thumbnail seriously. Another thing that I think would double your views.
Opening your mouth on a thumbnail image could lead more people to Jesus. I love it. So, but anyway, there you go. So this next one makes sense. You're only uploading full sermons. And I could see why, because, you know, you're recording your message, you're recording the full thing. It's just easy to go ahead and skip doing, well, I'm sure things like, we know already, shorts and those types of things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just make sure you're, I think it's an easy win to clip the best parts of your message and turn it into two or three shorts per week. Yeah. I think this is an obvious one that is an easy win for most churches. I think you can do it by hand probably in about 20 minutes per clip. That's about how long our editors take to do that. I think if you're doing it with software or using AI, you can load in your sermon and have it do it in, it can do 20 clips in 20 minutes. Only a couple will be, you know, useful. I think it's better when it's done by an expert by hand. In fact, we have a service that we offer at Reach Right Here. If you're looking for someone to help you get your long form sermons and turn them into short form videos, you can click on the link in the description down below and get some information on how we can help you do that.
Yeah, good stuff. And this next one's also a big deal. You're ignoring the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah. So by this, I think we're looking at, as a general rule on any social media or video platform, when they ask for information, like about the thing you're uploading, it's always best practice to give them every bit of information you have. Like, so when you set up your Google business profile to be found on local searches, tell Google everything, what time your services are, and are you closed for certain holidays, and take pictures and load everything they'll give you a chance to load in here. Same thing with YouTube. If they give you a spot to say what the category of your video is, choose a category for the video. If they have a spot for a description, which they do, all these things they do have, put in a description. If it has tags, put in tags to help it categorize the message. Yeah. Answer all of those questions, give it all of the information that you can, and you will get better results. This doesn't move the needle as much, I wouldn't say. This isn't like a doubling type of a thing, but it probably is like a 10% increase by really nailing descriptions and tags and getting all that stuff right. Yeah. The algorithm is thirsty for it, give it to it, and you will, more people will hear your messages.
Which, that's the benefit. More people hearing your message, more people responding to it, and getting in touch with your church, hopefully. So that's good stuff. So next one, you're not promoting it anywhere else, meaning you're not promoting your YouTube channel anywhere other than YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's something that what I'm in the habit of when I'm preaching is I will say, hey, just to get you up to speed, kind of my intro to message, to get you up to speed, if you weren't here last week, we talked about this. It was really a great message and we got a lot of good feedback. In fact, if you missed it, make sure you check it out on YouTube and hop on there. So that's about it. The other place I think it's valuable is I'm not a huge fan of lots of links in my email, my signature, but that's the one link that I do have there is subscribe on YouTube. So inviting people to do that in my email signature, I think that's worthwhile for me and at my church and at Reach Right. This is what we do. That's my practice. So if you ever get an email from me, you'll see that subscribe on YouTube link. But just asking people to do it there. And I think that that actually moves the needle. Again, not a doubler. It's not going to double the view of every video you do, but I think it will move the needle a little bit. You'll get a few more subscribers from it. We track this. We probably... like people that click on my email signature, it's about, like, for Reach Right, it's about five people a month, right? That's how many people click on that signature. And that's great. They're subscribers and that moves the needle a little bit. So it's good.
Yeah, that is good. This next one's you're not connecting with real people. So obviously posting it, not interacting, right? That's one part of it.
Yeah, I think so. So this is a mistake that I think a lot of churches, they wonder on this question, like, should we respond to comments? Like when someone gets on there, like, does it make sense for us to respond? And if I do I respond as the pastor or as the, if it's the secretary, does she the one that responds or do I use the church account? I'll try and clear it up for you. The answer to the question of do I respond is a resounding yes. Like always, always respond. Here at ReachRight, I think we average probably about 10 to 15 comments per day. Yeah. We still make a point of responding to every single one of those.
Yeah.
Most of the time when it's something that is a actual, like, my team helps me with the responses when someone like just puts, like they put three fire emojis. Usually my team looks at it and just like kind of gives an emoji back. And that's fine. That's the kind of response is good. Just even those should be responded to. If it's a question, maybe you're going to ask me in this episode at the end, you'll want to know if, for me to do a deeper dive on something that we didn't unpack here, or maybe we didn't go deep enough on one of these questions. You leave a question down here. That's me. I'm the one that responds. It'll usually be from our ReachRight account, but this is valuable enough that these kinds of conversations, they really do make a difference for our audience, for building our audience. And we just want to make that kind of connection with people, with pastors out there. So so we do it. And I strongly recommend that you do it as a church. And whether it's the lead pastor or another person or a volunteer, I would probably use the church account to respond to every single comment that comes on there within reason. If you have a video that goes viral and gets 19,000 comments because maybe you had a slip up in the way you said something, then you know, I understand.
right.
Within reason, every comment gets a response. Absolutely. Make that part of your policy.
Yeah. And it made me think of even just like when we tell churches, when we help them with SEO, you want to respond to every Google review that you get, you know, say, and that really does give you boost. So I think this is a good one to end on. You're not consistent enough with your YouTube. So, and this has kind of been the case, I think, a lot with just social media in general. I know YouTube's always looked at as a little different compared to other social media outlets, but it's always been the temptation, right? You get it up there. And I think with YouTube even too, because a lot of churches just think of getting the message on there, and that's like the primary thing, it's easy to just leave it at that or get behind on that. And there's so much more you can do, but we're not talking about variety, but just doing this ongoing consistently.
So I'd recommend that you have an SOP at your church on how we handle YouTube, like a standard operating procedure. This is what we do. And what it should entail is, when do we upload? What do we upload, and how do we upload it? So I would recommend that every church on Sunday afternoon, if possible, Monday morning at the latest, the sermon for the week goes up. So that's the full length sermon. We've said before many times on this channel, do not include announcements or worship or any of those things, because that doesn't have the same long-term value as the sermon portion does.
Right.
So get that up there every week on Sunday. And then the dates are up to you, but I think a rhythm for most churches is, let's say we're going to do two shorts every single week. I'm going to do those on Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Like, just be really consistent about it. Like, on those days. So that gives you a nice Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday schedule.
Yeah.
Three times a week you're posting on YouTube. Also include in your SOP, like, what do we do to do an upload? So it's things like, make sure the title is searchable. Make sure the thumbnail is dialed in and do a test. Make sure the description is filled out fully. And we chose 10 tags to add to the video. So getting all of those things kind of written down, this is our process. And then make sure you have the information about who is going to do it as well. So who are the people that are responsible to this? You need to start with that, because if your plan is like, just let's try and be consistent, well, you're just not going to be able to do that. You need to actually write down, here's what we're going to do, get people committed to doing it. And then once you've done that, you'll start to actually see results on these things. So that's kind of what we're trying to practice. I know at my church, it's certainly what we practice here at ReachRight. All of our video team has very specific responsibilities. I know that in most churches, we're not dealing with a team of dozens of people that are involved with this. It's probably a person that does it all. But I really think all these things we talked about, you could probably do it. If you include the short creation and stuff, it may be an extra hour, but I'd say like 1 to 2 hours a week. I think that little bit of difference, I really can't see why after a year you wouldn't triple or quadruple your YouTube presence. And I think that would be compounding year after year for several years. It probably runs out of steam at some point when you get over the population of the world or something like that. Not everybody is going to subscribe. But I think at some point this is always going to be worthwhile. Here's the way I think of it. As a pastor, we spend hours preparing messages and rehearsing messages, and then our video team records messages, and then we upload the first one on there. Like, all in, it's probably like a 20 or hour process, 20 man hours go into maybe every single initial video getting onto YouTube. Why not take the two extra hours if it's going to 4x your returns on the value of that video? That's the question that I'm left with. So to me, this is kind of a no-brainer. Take some of these steps, and I think it'll make a huge impact.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. A lot of content, but helpful content. So yeah.
Hope so. If this has been helpful to you, it'd mean a lot to me if you would hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment, and I will personally respond to it, unless it's fire emojis, in which case my team will respond. But we appreciate your comments, guys. If you have a hack that you use to get better YouTube results, or maybe a question about something we talked about here, drop it in the comments, and we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.